This is Northland Angler, the Northland Tackle Podcast.
Today's guest is Chip Lear from Fish in the Wild Side. A lot of things to talk about with Chip. The National Walleye Tour is underway. Chip's been spending a lot of time fishing Leech Lake here in June, and he's loving him some Northland tackle.
Welcome back.
Oh, it's great to be back, Kevin. And there's no better time to be home than what we have right now, because I love to fish, and our fish like to put on weight this time of year.
This is the best month to go fishing, I think.
Without a question, and it doesn't matter what you fish for. If you're a pan fisherman or a bass fisherman or a walleye fisherman, so the muskies may take a little bit to get moving here, but this slow extended spring, I'm all in favor of, because it has extended a lot of really good bites.
So where are you finding the fish right now?
Most of the fish have moved through their spawning procedures, and we've moved ourselves into summer. And as they come out of spawn and into summer and start to set up on summer haunts, they put a lot of they get a lot more aggressive. They're willing to chase baits a lot further. They're willing to chase prey a lot further. Our fish right now, so the bass are starting to move offshore. Most of them are still relatively shallow, and if that water stays cool, they'll stay there. The walleyes have started to move out into the Magan Lake, butting up against some rock edges and some points towards the main basin, pointing themselves towards their midsummer haunts, but they are held up there and aggressively feeding. And our smallmouth are cruising flats and eating just about anything you pitch.
You know, there are some lakes you have to go to, different lakes to get different bites. That's the beauty of Leech Lake, isn't it? They're all there.
I love Leech Lake, from panfish to walleyes. It can also be a really frustrating lake. I mean, I live there. I fish it. It's so big, and there's so many options. I personally, the way I attack the lake, because it is so diverse, it's really easy to get caught up in running back and forth. Is I just kind of fish it by zones, and I'll kind of zone out the lake and decide that today I'm going to fish, maybe it's Walker Bay and Cabacona Bay, or I'm going to fish, just Steamboat Bay, or I'm going to fish the main lake, or I'm going to hit Boyan Headquarters, or it's Portage Bay is going to be my lake today. If you just a guide a long time ago, a friend of mine, when I was frustrated and running around the lake, took out a paper map. Those of us that remember paper maps, laid it on a table, took a magic marker, and drew a circle and said, "Don't leave the circle. There's walleyes in that circle. Go find them." And it was actually really good advice, and it helped me become a better fisherman, because I picked apart the nuances of a particular bay and found some fish.
So what would you say the walleyes want to eat right now?
You can throw a lot of different things or troll a lot of different things right now for these fish. Myself, personally, I'm doing two different things. I'm pulling bottom bouncers with spinners, usually with a crawler. Love slow death rigs, butterfly blades, something I can pull relatively slow, but I like a heavier bouncer, ounce and a quarter. Something I can pull along slowly, but stay in contact with the bottom. I can change depths relatively effectively and just make contact with those fish. And you're going to, if you're moving slowly with a slow death type rig, like a butterfly blade, you're going to locate those fish. And then if you want to, you can turn around and go back through there with a live bait rig, a slip sinker rig, with either a crawler or a leech. And that's pretty much my 1-2 punch for now. The shiner thing is great, but we've kind of worked our way all the way through that, and it's really hard to keep them alive in this warmer water anyway.
Okay. What about the bass?
Bass are all over the shallows. I mean, the largemouth are definitely in the shallows and moving up into some of our rice beds, and you can see how the rice is hitting the surface of the water and tipping over a little bit on some of that backwater. So you can take jawbreaker spoons or anything that frogs, get yourself back into that slop and enjoy some of those fishes. They're looking for the warmest water in the system they can to recover from spawn and start to put on some weight, and they really like the warm water. Move out a little bit deeper in harder bottom areas, and you're going to bump into our blessed smallmouths that are on so many of our area lakes, and pitching jigs with tubes and short little fatty tubes and all that kind of stuff seems to work real well. You can also use jerk baits and spinner baits, and because they're just hanging up out there and cruising around and aggressively feeding. If you don't find them, the smallmouth, you pretty much got to just move yourself back out a little bit to a break line. As we go from warm to cold and warm to cold, A lot of times they will leave those shallows and run back out to a little bit deeper water and return as things warm back up for them. So just move yourself back out to that break, throw some jerk baits, and you'll at least see them. And if you see them, you can start to pitch slower dropping presentations to get them to bite.
How many smallmouth are out there now?
There's a lot of smallmouth out there. I'm not a biologist, and I don't have an exact number of lakes, but boy, oh boy, do we have a lot of options. And our options are fabulous. There's a number of lakes with some great opportunity. The bass seem to be getting bigger and more plentiful every single season, including Leech Lake. I mean, we're seeing this population on Leech Lake is really kind of exciting. It's getting to the point where it's almost targetable. And I wouldn't say predictable, but it's targetable, and you can go out there and look to make contact with one, and you couldn't say that 3 years ago.
Yeah. Wow.
I know. Well, it's fun.
It's just a natural place for fish to grow, clearly. That lake is just designed to create fish.
Well, that's why we love it, and it's also why we got to protect it. Yeah. You know, because like all of our area lakes, Kevin, we are... And I can tell you from traveling around, we are so very fortunate to have the type of resources that we have here locally. They are unmatched anywhere in North America. We've got pristine waters with fabulous fisheries. These fish want to bite. They are not pressured fish. We are spoiled beyond reason here.
We are,
despite having a difficult day here and there. Right?
Yeah.
They don't always bite. You know, it isn't opening day on Red Lake everywhere all the time.
No.
But it gets a lot worse when you travel out of the state of Minnesota. I'll tell you that.
Well, that's the thing. You got like we talk about the bass bite and the walleye bite, and then they've also got tons of perch, and Leech Lake's got tons of perch. Great bluegills and crappies too,
and this is the time of year. You know, a lot of those the panfish, the bluegills, and the crappies have all moved up into the weeds and on the edge of those weeds, and you can run around there and catch them. And you also got to be careful. I mean, I'm a big advocate of catch and release, even on these bigger lakes. A fish here and there for consumption is great, but I really like to see them go back in, especially these panfish, because if we have one resource that we can put the damage on, it's the panfish, and we got to look to protect those. And for all these species, we're at the time of year now where you can use relatively quick search items. So if you're searching for bass, you can throw swim baits and cover water quickly. You can throw spinner baits, cover water quickly. You can throw topwaters, cover water quickly. You want to chase walleyes, you can pull spinners relatively, quickly, not overly fast, but you can go half, three quarters of a mile an hour and still make contact with some fish and locate them. But every time you locate a fish, to really capitalize on your bite, you gotta come up with a second presentation that slows things down a little bit, whether it's a live bait rig or a wacky rigged worm for bass or something that just drops slower in front of their face that entices that bite, or a helium fly for panfish, something that has no weight to it at all and just kind of flutters and oozes up in front of that fish's nose and entice them to bite. Fish are a lot like humans right now. If you hold a piece of food in front of somebody's nose long enough, eventually they're going to want a bite, and that's what the fish are like right now.
Mm-hmm. Wow, it's just a flat-out fun time to go fishing.
No, no doubt about that. If just take the time. You know what? You can work on the lawn later. You can do everything you want later. August is coming. There'll be plenty of time for that garden project. Right now, get in the boat.
Yeah. Yeah. And we haven't talked about Northerns. You got that new second year, that new Northern limit. Are you seeing more people go for Northerns and taking advantage of this?
I don't know that I am, but I'm certainly not in those waters, and I certainly haven't been doing any surveys at all, yeah. So I don't know if I'd be a good source for that.
What about muskies? What are you hearing out there?
Well, I know some fish are getting caught. I know that they're starting to show up for those that are casting to them, but they're not fully committing as our water has just now started to warm up. So you really need the stars and the moon to align, as the muskie anglers like to cordon, and they'll be good to go. So it's time to sharpen hooks and pick your times to chase them. I mean, myself and muskie fishing, it's really come down to prime time. I fish for a few hours in the evening or a few hours in the morning, but I don't cast all day like some of the guys do.
So now that you're here in this prime time to go fishing, are you filming a lot right now?
We're doing a lot of tips and tricks, especially for Northland Tackle. The 2020 gear is going to be released here in just a few weeks. So I've been very fortunate to get to play with a lot of the products and the improvements in products that are coming for next summer. And this is it's really a fun time of year because it's in fishing world, it's all the new toys, right?
Right.
So you get to see all the new stuff that's coming and going to get released for next season. And I'm telling you, there's some really cool stuff coming. My hats are off to everybody at Northland Fish and Tackle here in Bemidji because the stuff they got coming, especially some of the jigs and the rigs that they got for next season, are innovative and creative enough and I have fished with them enough this spring to say that I have 100% confidence that you're going to end up catching more and possibly some bigger fish because of some of this.
They keep coming up with new stuff. How do they keep coming up with new stuff?
Well, it's the network, and I'm certainly a part of that, and that's the great part about Team Northland is it is wide and diverse. It's coast to coast. It's north to south. It's east and west. It's everywhere. And everybody gets, they take input from all over North America and take good ideas. And what they're really good at, and especially, I mean, Eric Nag has helped a lot over there at Northland Fish and Tackle from the sense that they take all that information that gets brought up, whether it comes from tournament anglers or guides or just hardcore fishermen in different areas around the country, and they take each one of those little ideas, and a lot of times it gets morphed into one, or they are working on a current product, and somebody will bring something up that's similar from a different part of the country, and then it'll get tweaked. And that's some of the stuff you got coming for next year, which is really, really innovative.
What's making a lot of noise this year from Northland Tackle that you're hearing a lot about?
Well, the stand-up fireball jigs and the long-shanked fireball jigs have it's become a mainstay. Okay, it's done. It's over. It's those things rocked. I know I caught more fish because of that longer shank. It's a phenomenal jig, and whether you're using the stand-up or the round ball, they both ended up catching a lot of fish because of the fact that you have that longer shank that could get further back into a minnow's body. Subsequently, if a fish grabbed a hold of it, you end up with more hookups. The one tweak that I've been doing to the bait, if you're using a lot of those jigs, is I slightly bend open the hook just a hair. I think it's curved down just a hair, but I bend it up just ever so slightly just to make it a little bit easier to catch the roof of the fish's mouth.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, I've heard a lot about that. Whether it be the original fireball jig or all these variations, I mean, to me it's like a fishing version of Stairway to Heaven. There might be a lot of Led Zeppelin songs you like, but if you see them in concert, they better play Stairway to Heaven, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
No matter what. And Northland Tackle has all kinds of great stuff, but everybody wants the fireball jig.
There's no doubt about it. And, in fact, it's the first thing that people bring up when if you're traveling around. You mentioned you work with Northland, and they're like, oh, I got so many fireball stories, right?
They got
fireball stories and fireball stories. And this is going to create more fireball stories. We haven't even got to the point, the time of the year. I mean, this long-shank fireball, as season progresses and we go to larger minnows in some deeper water and we want to utilize a bigger minnow and a stinger hook, it's got that capability. So as we move in, it's far from just a spring-only jig. This thing is going to become an important piece of your fishing arsenal come late summer as those fish move to the depths, and a lot of times you're vertical fishing them.
Okay, wow. Well, have you fished anything besides Leech Lake?
I've been doing a lot of the little lakes, especially for bass and panfish. It's one of my favorite things to do. And the bite's really good. I've had some visitors, family visitors, come up and visit. They're from the state of Virginia. They'd never seen anything like this before. And we went out, and I don't know how many dozens of bass we caught in the 3 hours we had on a lake, but a lot. And it was and that was what I was trying to do. All my whole purpose for them was to hook them on Minnesota fishing. It didn't matter. We didn't get a lot of bruisers, but we got a lot of hook sets. And that's what they'll remember when they go home is coming to Minnesota, you set the hook.
That's one of the things I talked to Gussie about this a lot too. What he experiences nationwide bass fishing, obviously, being on the Bassmaster Tour.
On very difficult water,
right.
Highly pressured bass water.
Right. And he just says flat out, the best bass fishing is up here. May not get the biggest bass, but there's the most and the aggressive bites, and it's just a better brand of bass fishing up here.
But we have some extremely good bass fishing too. We've got good, we've got a good healthy size. We may not get the
not
Florida
the biggest,
10 pounder.
Yeah.
We're not going to get a Texas 12.
Yeah.
But we're going to get some good fish.
Yeah, and I think more and more people nationwide are learning that too.
No, absolutely. Especially with the different formats that are now coming up in tournament fishing and bass fishing, and you look at the sheer numbers of fish caught in other states, during an average day, this is, you talk about the major league format. That's one thing that I'm really, I think it's good for Minnesota, because you look at these other states and you look at the numbers and the weight, their total catch for the day in comparison to some, fishing in Minnesota and the number and the weight that you can catch here. And you can see that Minnesota is a pretty impressive place to come fish.
It really, really, really is. Speaking of fishing tours, let's talk about the National Walleye Tour. I know you're big in that. You just came off, before you got this little respite, you were at a tournament. How many are under our belt so far for this year?
We're exactly at our halfway point through the season. So we kicked it off at Winnebago in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Had a very cold, windy, rainy early season walleye tournament there, below average water temperatures. And Zach Axman from Rugby North Dakota ended up taking first place over there with a very innovative technique, a slip bobber.
Who'd have thought?
Oh, and how do you not love it, right?
Yeah.
The whole world's trying to recreate what they do, where they do it. But he beat the biggest field ever in National Walleye Tour history. We had 165 pros, 165 co-anglers.
Wow.
Absolutely phenomenal response to our tour this year. So it got off to a great start, and Zach bested the best. He's only been fishing pro a couple of years, but he has showed that he's got the goods, man. So that we started there. That was a great tournament there. And then we just capped back here a couple weeks ago from the Bay of Green Bay. We were out of Marinette, Wisconsin. A guy that is a very avid multi-species angler, but is a walleye professional, John Hoyer, won the tournament. Now, John came up through the system. He was a co-angler, fish co-angler for a couple years, got his feet wet, decided to kind of like this, met a few of the guys, decided to turn pro, went pro. Almost won on the Mississippi River in Prairie du Chien a couple years ago, and then put it together for his first win here in Marinette on the Bay of Green Bay, and it was really an emotional moment for him, and it was great to see him put it together, because you're going to read a lot about John Hoyer moving forward, because the guy just plain can smell fish. I'm telling you, he's one of those guys that's got the gift, whether it's a muskie or a bass or a walleye. He can smell them, and he chases them, and he can pattern them quick, and that is the key to tournament fishing, is being able to pattern fish and duplicate that pattern, over a couple day event.
We were talking a couple weeks ago at a gathering we were at, and you were telling me how in the Bay of Green Bay has got this reputation, but it's like boom or bust. It's either hot or somebody gets into them, or they could spend all day and not see a fish.
We've had five tournaments, National Walleye Tour events on the Bay of Green Bay. The average weight to win a tournament, two-day weight, is 72 pounds. Okay, so that's 10 fish, 72 pounds. So, there's your average of what you need.
Wow.
The number that nobody pays attention to is the average number of pro anglers that catch five fish a day for 2 days in a row is 13.
Wow. Hundred and some anglers
at each one of these events. I think the smallest turnout we've had on a Green Bay event is like 129. I take that back. It's probably the championship a couple years ago, but let's X that one out. So you've got 129, angler plus co-anglers. Only 13 on average, 13 guys will duplicate that and catch two, full 10 fish limit for 2 days in a row. It's a tough, tough body of water. But it's kind of like it's like bigger water around here. It's like Lake of the Woods. It's like Leech Lake. The waters are so big that you kind of have to zone it a little bit and decide where you're going to attack. And if the area that you pick doesn't stay hot for 2 days, because you can't run. You know, if the wind blows, you just can't put the you can't put the throttle down and get there. It's too the runs are too long.
Okay.
Fun body of water though.
Yeah. Yeah, and when, like you say, when you get into them, they're big.
Oh, they're huge fish. It's fabulous fish, and guys are getting 10, 11, pound fish during a tournament, and that's the best part is going into the final day of an event, and looking at the score sheet and realizing that as far down as 20th place, with the right couple of hook sets, could take home first place. That's pretty impressive. Everybody's still got a shot.
Wow.
Or you can come from 75th and still cash a check. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah. So anybody from our neck of the woods participating in the tour this year or relatively near?
Yeah, we've got a number of anglers here that have come up there. Chad DuBois, who is a local guide here. We're seeing him there. And I'm trying to think who else. Local, I think Chaz is the one guy that comes to mind right at the top of my head. I know Will Pappenfuss has been out there and fished a little bit, and I think that's all I can think of at the moment.
All right, but I'm sure Minnesota wide. There's more than, I mean, there's quite a few Minnesota wide, I would guess.
Minnesota is very well represented on the National Walleye Tour, and Northern Minnesota is represented. The big. It's really kind of a – Wisconsin's probably got the largest conglomerate of tournament fishermen.
Okay.
And the most of them live somewhere between Oshkosh and Green Bay. Minnesota has a good number of tournament anglers, and they're kind of scattered amongst the state. And then Michigan would probably be number three in terms of just sheer numbers. The guys that are living around like Michigan and Saginaw and that whole zone there, that's your three kind of epicenters of anglers. Now, there's certainly a hardcore out of the Missouri River system, but that would probably be fourth, just in terms of sheer numbers. But they don't have the population density that you've got in the other areas.
So we're halfway through, so what's the rest of the season look like?
The rest of the season is going to be pretty fun. We go from here to Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, at the end of July. I think it's the 25th, 26th. New Water, National Walleye Tour, has never been there. Some of the old-timers have been there. But this is the best part about what's going on in National Walleye Tour. Our Angler of the Year leader right now is Max Wilson. He's 21 years old. He won the championship on Lake of the Woods last fall. And him and this Dylan Nussbaum, who's 20, and there's a whole core of just young, enthusiastic walleye guys. And if you're an old timer and remember the 80s, 90s when planer boards were new and spinners were new and pelagic bait fish were just found on in the Great Lakes, and so we're suddenly trolling for these suspended walleyes, all these techniques were new. Well, we're right in the middle of all this innovation right now, except it's all technological. So all these young anglers, the innovative, computer-minded, statistical-minded 20 to 30-year-olds are really making an impact. So you go to a place like we're going now, Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, and no, we may not have been there. Generally, in the past, advantage old-timer that's been there. Not anymore. Everything's online. All this information is available. And I can't wait to get up there and see how these guys pick apart the water that hasn't been picked apart by a group of pros like this in quite some time. So that'll be our third and final stop of the regular season. And then Devil's Lake, North Dakota, that'll be the site of this year's championship, three-day event, September 11, 12, and 13. There's no better way to end a season than Devil's Lake because you can catch them so many different ways. Whether you're a rigger or a jigger or a caster or a troller, whatever it is, it can be done on Devil's Lake, and it'll be a fantastic end of the season. For myself, I love this part because we're halfway through the season. That means I've got roughly about another $1 million to give away. So I get to hand out another $1 million in checks to walleye tournament anglers, and subsequently when I see them, they're happy to see me.
I imagine they are.
Yeah. It took me a while. It didn't take me long to figure that out. Hand somebody a check, they like you.
They like you a lot more. Yeah.
How do you feel about your boss? They hand you a check. You like
on payday? I like them. Yeah. Yeah. So you're talking about these guys and these young guys and the way they're approaching things. It sounds like sabermetrics of fishing is out there.
Absolutely. It's going. I mean, it's happening. Because they're looking at waters completely different than traditional type methods, or at least the methods that I grew up with, right? And so we're really watching turnover. And I think you're going to see the same thing happen, if it's probably already happening, on our neighborhood waters right outside our back door. Mm-hmm. You know, just because you've been there before does no longer gives you the advantage. Those that have done the most research for the conditions there are currently, that's who I'm betting on.
Okay. Wow. What else? Oh, we want to talk about something you made me aware of today, the MinFish Sport Fishing Foundation Coalition. Wide open question. What is it?
MinFish Sport Fishing Foundation Coalition is it's a nonprofit group. It's pretty simple. I mean, we were put together to restore, protect, and enhance Minnesota sport fishing for present and future anglers to enjoy, generations of anglers to enjoy. It's no doubt. I mean, Minnesota, we've got 10,000 lakes, 69,000 miles of rivers and streams and shoreline. Our industry, interestingly enough, in the state of Minnesota, let's go back up here a little. Nationally, we're number two in resident fishing licenses sold nationally. We're the third most popular state to visit nationally, and we're number four nationally in watercraft registration. More people come to Minnesota to fish than to do any other activity. So that gives you an idea where we are.
Wait, more than go to Mall of America?
More than go to Mall of America, as exciting as that may be. It's still a viable option in January.
Yes.
But our fishing industry, there's it's 27,000 jobs, and it's $4.2 billion. That's an incredible number when you look at the industry in the state of Minnesota. But we got all sorts of challenges here too. I mean, we're losing habitat. There's an incredible large number of urbanization. We're watching this. You know, our small towns tend to be getting smaller. More people are moving to the bigger cities. Subsequently, less people are getting exposed to fishing. Most importantly, our resources are, we've got to, you know, with lakeshore development and, reduced stocking in certain instances, we've watched fishing opportunities lessen and become harder to get to. And I think the number, if I got this right, there's like 30% of all anglers in the state of Minnesota don't own a boat.
Wow.
So we got to look at that too, right? So we need fishing piers. We're watching catch rates go down. Fishing license sales in the state of Minnesota have been declining steadily for 10 years. And that's where this MinFish organization got put together. There was a kind of a state, we like to call ourselves Minnesota, the Fishing Foundation and Coalition. But when we look at Minnesota, we call Minnesota the state of fishing. It's not the state of hockey. This is the state of fishing.
Yes.
And so with that, when we had a meeting a couple years ago about a completely different topic, but it was industry related, there was an industry stakeholders meeting. And what came out of that meeting was, out of this $270 million that we raised, there's very few of it, less than half of it's actually getting reinvested back into our resources. And that's where the group really kind of got formulated. Ron Shera from Minnesota Bound is our president. Local John Peterson, founder of Northland Fish and Tackle, is our vice president. Dave Osborne, who heads up Clam Corporation, is our treasurer. I'm on board as the secretary, but our board of directors has got everybody from Reed's is Jeff Arnold, a very active voice and body inside the organization. Frankie DeSinca, who owns the number one Ranger dealership, Frankie's in Chisago City. Gary Leaf, Tom Mackin, president of Rappel and Normark. Tom Neustrom, local Jay Pedersen, the attorney, is our volunteer attorney. Steve Panaz from Lake Commandos Television is on the board. Dick Sternberg, retired biologist, on the board. Craig Wilson, who heads up Trout Unlimited, is on the board. Babe Winkleman's on the board. It's an impressive group of anglers. At the Linders in Baxter, our in Linder Media is involved in helping us carry our message across the board, and have been very innovative and supportive of what we're doing here. And it's really we're not a bashing group. We're not a DNR bashing group. That's not our purpose. Our purpose is to work with the DNR, help them. Make good, sound, scientific decisions on lake management. We want to provide anglers and people that are concerned about our resources a strong voice in our Minnesota legislature, in our businesses, for all things aquatic related. That's really what we're here to do. We also want to help promote youth fishing. We had our first success this past legislative session, so we're just barely getting going. We launched this at the Northwest Sports Show in the middle of March.
Oh, wow.
By the time the first legislative session was done, MinFish had a part in a initiative for high school fishing grants. We approved the amount of $200,000 that is part of the, I believe it's the Omnibus Environment Natural Resources Bill with the No Child Left Indoors provision. Inside there is we got $200 allocated for high school. Now, we're just getting going. So we've got a long ways to go to help grow the sport and most importantly, give you a voice in St. Paul. We need numbers. We've got industry support from lots of different manufacturers, everybody from Vexlar to Northland to Lund Boats to Alumacraft to Evinrude to Markham. It's an incredible number of companies that are supporting us. But we need anglers to get to min-fish.com and to register yourself. It doesn't cost a thing. It's free. But you want your voice heard? Register. Get to the website. Get your name on there. Participate. Now, granted, you can sign up a life member for a dollar amount. You can make a charter membership for a dollar amount. But if you just want to have your voice heard, just get your name on the list, and we'll be there representing you. And subsequently, if you give us your email address, we'll send you a newsletter on occasion, kind of keep you up to speed with everything that's going on inside the state of Minnesota, and we'll let you know how and where we're working. We're not going to badger you with emails, and we're not going to hound you for money. Okay. There's plenty of money. There's $270 million in taxes. We're just not getting it.
Yeah.
And if you want it and you want to protect the resources, get to minfish.com and have your voice heard.
mn-fish.com. Go over those dollar amounts again. $4.2 billion coming into this state.
It's in raised monies.
In raised monies, yes.
So tax dollars. What people don't know about is there's like excise taxes. So if you build a product inside the state of Minnesota, you're paying a percentage of what you sell. You pay that excise tax before it gets to the retail store.
Gotcha.
Right?
Gotcha. Yep.
Plus, as a consumer, you're also paying taxes. Mm-hmm. As a license holder, you're also paying monies. Like this, you know, the walleye stamp, all these things that are supposed to come around. Now, the walleye stamp, all that money has to be spent privately, and they do spend it. They just don't raise enough. It's like I think they raised $90,000 on the walleye stamp. Yeah. So we got to look into that and see how we can utilize that stamp maybe to raise more money. I don't know, but we're certainly looking at that right there. But there's a lot of money on hand, and that's really why we look at this as a partnership with the DNR, because the conversations that we've had in St. Paul with different members of the DNR all the way to the top is the fact that those monies are there, and they want those monies too. They don't get access to them. They need the support of the people. They need the support of us to hold the legislators accountable. It says the DNR needs money for fishing piers. We haven't built a new boat access in the state of Minnesota for over 10 years. It stopped. We need fishing access. We want people to have an opportunity to go fishing. We need boat ramps. We need fishing piers. We need opportunities. We need youth programs that puts rods in the hands of kids. If you put a rod in a kid's hand and they're less than 10 years old, you're almost going to guarantee that kid is going to have an opportunity to fish and going to fish for the rest of their life. It's there, and we talk about we just added two more board members to the MnFish board. One is the president of the Women Anglers Association in the state of Minnesota. The other one is Nicole Jacob Stemlock, a tournament bass angler. Both these women were put there because what we know to be factual is if a dad fishes and introduces his kids to fishing, I believe the number is there's about a 60% chance that that person, in the family, is going to participate in hunting and fishing activities throughout their lives.
Yeah.
If the mothers fish or hunt, the family fishes or hunts like 90%. It's a crazy strong number. So the more women you get fishing and hunting, the more families you'll get fishing and hunting.
Okay.
The numbers are combined.
Yeah. Wow. I had a swimming with all this factual information. Well, but mn-fish.com, great starting point to help have your voices heard, bottom line.
Bottom line, if you care about our resources and you care about the fishing in the state of Minnesota, sign up and be heard. It's not a rally cry to there's nobody getting paid in this entire endeavor. You go look at the list, go get to the website and check it out. There's nobody getting paid. This is 100% volunteer, from Ron Scherer to Al Linder to Babe Winkleman to Jeff Arnold to John Peterson. There's nobody making a dime. This is all volunteer work.
Final question.
Yes.
Going back to fishing on the water this weekend, where do I go? What do I use?
This weekend, well, when you look at any weekend, Kevin, you always got to think about which way the wind's blowing, okay? And yep. Especially for me, because I live on Leech. And if there's wind at all, I'm probably going to find somewhere, some sort of hard bottom area. So maybe it's the Pelican, maybe it's Sub-Annex, maybe it's Pelican Island, maybe it's Otter Tail Point. But get myself to some point where the wind is blowing and it has some sort of disruptive action on the shoreline, and I'm going to be pulling a bottom bouncer, and I'm going to be pulling a butterfly blade with a slow death hook with a piece of a crawler attached to it back and forth until I make contact with some fish. Once I find those fish, I'll probably catch as many as I can. Then I'm going to turn around, go back through there with a slip sinker and maybe a leech and see if I can get a few more to bite.
Okay. He is Chip Lear of Fishing the Wild Side. He is Chip Lear of the National Walleye Tour. He's Chip Lear of the Minnesota Fish Sports Fishing Foundation and Coalition, and Chip Lear of Northland Tackle. Have I missed any?
I have a beautiful wife. Her name's Enika, and I'm very lucky to be associated with her.
Chip Lear of Good Taste as well. Great friend of the show. Love having him in. Thank you for taking the time today, Chip.
Thanks, Kevin.